Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, everyone. This is Allie coming to you at the top of the show just to let you know that we're having a couple of technical difficulties with this episode. You'll notice about halfway through the podcast, our audio starts to overlap. But our guest this week was just too important to leave this episode on the cutting room floor. So thank you in advance for your patience, and we'll do better next week. Back to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge USA Wrap Up Podcast for episode 3. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Alice. Allie, how are you?
I haven't seen a podcasting group this heavy in heart in a long time, and I love it.
Yeah, we got a third wheel to our great duo. We got the great Jacob Jones here. Jacob, how are you?
Brian, first off, that intro, were you ever a, what do they call those people, the Storage Wars auctioneers? Have you ever done that as a trade? Because that
intro, it's what I do on weekends, actually.
Oh, nice. I can tell because that intro had me in a blizzard. I loved it. I am doing amazing. I'm excited to be here with y'all. I'm really excited to be here with y'all because I have not ever done a podcast with you, Brian. I done one when you were MIA and had to take up your responsibilities. I forgot what season that was of the challenge with Allie. And me and Allie weren't even like good Judy's then. I don't think we were that good Judy's then.
I mean, I feel like we were, but now it's awkward. Oh, well, maybe not.
It was one.
Now we know each other on a more smart, deeper level.
It's so funny because Jacob Jones sent me a TikTok recently that I sent to Rourke, and it still showed like Jacob Jones sent it, and Rourke was like, friend of the podcast, Rourke was like, oh, who's that? And I was like, he's an RHAP person who's become my son.
No, literally, I came out of you like bad. Ripped it open, sewed it back shut.
Okay.
Wait, Allie, does your mom or family listen to this?
No. Okay, imagine.
I had a dream I was going to say something very inappropriate, and I was like, I can't call Allie like a hoe if, like, you know, her, like, family listens to this.
I don't think you should call me that regardless.
No, I definitely should have. But I was like, wait if I just, like, get into this rage and, like, just, like, get into, like, my, like, she's like, oh, you know what, Allie, you were just a big hoe. And then, like, you know.
So...
But, Brian, I'm excited to be here with you, too. I'm just excited to be here, be able to have fun. I'm loving this season. I thought it was going to be boring. I actually really thought the Challenge USA was going to be a snooze fest. But... I've been thoroughly entertained.
Why? Why the cast? Like, what made you
feel
that?
Not by the cast, just by, like, I don't know. I just thought CBS wasn't going to do it right. I just thought it was going to be lackluster. Like, because, and even it was rated, like, I think PG, like, PG and not PG-13. Mm-hmm. Is the Challenge MTV rated PG-13?
Who's paying attention to television ratings like that?
Y'all been doing this shit for about 7, 8 years, 10 years, how long? And so y'all should know.
Jacob, we can't know the names of the episodes. You expect us to know the ratings of the episodes? Come on.
I just thought that it was going to be like, okay, look, I love the people that were on it, but this season has been providing and giving. Last week, Tiffany gave, hands down, clocked every person in there, cleared them down, like she should have. And yeah, this episode, James is giving. Like, people on there leaving, I mean, besides Shelly and Giovanni, but it was only one episode. Like, they have been giving, and I've been appreciating it. So yeah, loving it. Excited to be here to talk about it with you all.
Hopefully, we'll be giving this episode.
Well, I hope too. wake up.
Ooh, I'm up. I'm
on fire.
Beow, beow. Oh, y'all don't have a sound effects?
No, this is low budget stuff.
What are we tearing it out of here?
I know
you're used to the high end stuff.
I'm used to plugging my holes.
I die. Not to jump right to the end, but when I was watching that, I was like, oh dear Lord. It's like people think that like Rob is spoiled on episodes when he has guests. Like, we couldn't be the lowest, like lower on the rung of the ladder, on the lower rung of the ladder. We were not spoiled, but we were just simply blessed with the crossover of a whole themed elimination.
When I saw that, I was very pleased.
I think we have to I think this episode is going to be rated R, so we should get out ahead of that.
Pay attention to do it.
Jacob, what do you, are you, you know, I feel like every guest we're going to have to ask about the randomizer, the algorithm. Are you a believer? Do you call bullshit on the randomness, or do you think it's truly random?
I honestly think it's truly random. I think the universe does what the universe wants to do. And I think when it put Cash and Cinco together last time, it was something. I think that was a little messy. I think it's random when it's random, but when it's right, it's right. And when it's right, it's the producers are right. But when it's random, it's like, okay, who gives a shit? Like Homeboy getting all Love Island people. I think that's random. I don't think, let's give Dominic these young hot ladies to, you know, and he and his confessional say, I'm married. Yeah, we know you. We're not thinking you pushing up on them. We're not thinking they're going to be receptive of the push up. So it's like, you know, I think it's random for the most part.
Well, you never know who might catch the eye of an islander. So you never know.
Well, honestly, you remember Sally said that she tried to like kiss Enzo. Enzo wasn't about it. So you never know.
Jacob, famously, Brian, after doing that interview, immediately came to this podcast and misreported it. That
what did you say?
Enzo was pushing up on Sally.
Oh my God, Brian! Fake news.
This is why I shouldn't be real media. Keep me here.
No, honestly, you can get sued. Defamation. Get it together. You're a reliable source. You're here with Ali. Lasher.
I have a great lawyer. I have a great lawyer right here. So I'll be.
Listen, I'm not a part of this. I don't want to be a part of it. I would very much like to be excluded from the narrative. Let's get to the partners. You know, I was dying when David and Shannon were teamed up. Jacob, we've been watching David in the background. He's been getting a rough edit this season and not really doing much. I thought there was going to be a meal made out of Shannon and David together, but we didn't really get too much, Brian.
No, the only moment we got was, of course, you know, I'm paying attention to him during the challenge where he couldn't even decide what letter to do. And Shannon's like, just run. I don't care what letter you do, just go. It's been a rough show for David so far through three episodes and really through his entire reality TV life. So no surprise here.
Yeah, and I saw him at the challenge premiere party that they hosted. He was a background character there too.
Shade. So
it really gave what it's supposed to give. But honestly, these challenges though with him, I never thought it was going to eat. I don't think he's like made for like TV. I don't know where I could go with this. I can go a lot of ways, but I'm just going to go with my hip. I think that a lot of times when he gets put on these type of shows, because I just don't think he has a personality for this shit. I mean, CBS puts a lot of people who don't have personalities for this shit. But I honestly feel like David getting on Big Brother twice, getting on Big Brother once, and then getting on this show, I think it's to fill a spot of BIPOC, because it's like it's been black people in the realm of CBS shows that have been way more entertaining, way more check marks on everything. And I feel like, why David? Like, he has not provided anything since he's been graced with a CBS contract from the very beginning.
You really showed up here to get Rob's phone ringing,
I'm tired. I was like, I'm just gonna be chill. But I honestly, like, he doesn't give us anything. But you know, yeah. Sorry.
I mean, well, yeah. Here, all right, to recast David, who are we missing? Let's say you have to stay within Big Brother. Who are you replacing David with?
We could. I'm even going with Howard from Big Brother 15. And he was pre-jury, but I still think he gave more than David did. Who else can I give? I would give Kevin from Big Brother 11 and Big Brother. Child, go back. If we're looking for that representation, go back to season. What was that? Season 5, season 4, Marvin. You know, like, child, go back to. And I ain't that many brothers on Big Brother now. I'm dwindling them down. Put me in there.
It took long enough, Jacob Jones, and we were waiting for that. It took long enough.
I was like, as soon as I said recast him, I thought it was going to be the first thing you said. I was waiting for it. And I'm here for
but
it,
honestly,
to be clear.
I could have done it. But yeah.
Look, Jacob Jones from Sequester season 3, 4, 2, 4,
no,
5.
Babe,
I don't know.
Let's not. Brian's trying to get this podcast canceled.
Brian's trying to get it canceled. Okay. Out here with the. I think the most insulting thing you said about him, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying anything about what you said, but if I were David listening, and I hope he's not, I think I'd be the most insulted by he doesn't have a personality for the show, because to tell a reality TV contestant you hate them, whatever, fine. To tell a reality TV person that they don't have a personality for reality TV is cutting deep.
Yeah.
You're like, I know what I said.
I agree. Yeah. No, I know what I said, but yeah, I think that was the, because I don't dislike David. He just serves no purpose on the show, on a reality TV in Jacob's eyes. And I can only see what the eyes that I have, 20/20 vision with contacts in. So I can only see what I can see. And he does not do it for me. He has never done it for me. Even in his interviews, I'm like, okay, can we skip over this? Like, he just does not bring what needs to be brought on an elite cast, not elite, but on some, you know, notable people on this show. And so it's definitely. Giving feel,
man, you got making me feel bad for David Alexander.
you know, why not? Let's drag
yeah,
everybody.
Literally
everybody
drag him. All right,
literally, he got a check for being on. Something I didn't get. So
I want to keep the mood as high as it is right now, and I have a complaint to lodge. Okay, I'm over it, Brian. You asked me last week about. TJ's like, you guys are doing amazing. I'm blown away. Like, week after week, we're hearing him congratulate these people. I, as a challenge fan, cannot stand for him dogging the heart of recent seasons by like giving this unbelievable compliment at the end of an elimination. Only 4 people even competed and they rode a bicycle. Like, get a grip, TJ.
Yeah, he said this cast is the biggest heart of any cast in recent memory.
Heavy in the heart in a long time. I haven't seen a group this heavy in heart in a long time.
Like, we know he just filmed All-Star Season 3 before this. I think All-Star Season 3 had a bigger heart than these people. Like, come on, TJ, stick to the, be loyal. Be loyal to your MTV world.
His expectations, at first I was like, all right, his expectations were absolute rock bottom. And they're like, just like Jacob, right? Like, he's seeing, okay, they're better than I expected. I thought CBS was going to mess this up. I didn't know what the casting was going to do. But, like, get over it now. I'm not that impressed such that he has to shower them with compliments 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, he must think these people just learned to walk. Like, it's unbelievable how low he thinks these people would do. But, I mean, we've had Survivor and Big Brother people on the show. Maybe TJ just doesn't even remember that some of the people on the MTV proper were from these shows. Because it feels like he thinks this is, like, a totally new thing that's happening right now.
He's acting like we showed up.
I think... Oh, literally. Wait, guys, I'm surprised. You know what annoys me that TJ says,
please.
if we're just going? Not that he says, but that the other cast members, I hate the saying, oh, I can't wait to run TJ's final. It literally makes me cringe. It makes me want to, like, sock my computer in the face. Like, it makes me, like... I mean, yeah, I think he's a producer, right? Right? He's a producer, TJ is?
I honestly don't know if he's...
Or does he just get a check? It's not like Big Brother people be saying, oh, I can't wait to make it to Julie's final, or Jeff Probst, I can't wait to make it to Jeff Probst's final tribal council. The hell?
Just to speak for the challenge fans who are yelling at their, just like you're punching your computer, they're punching their, I almost said iPod, woo,
Punched, so.
Oh, God. Is is TJ, I think that is sort of the mirror image of TJ calls it his final. You gotta qualify to run my final. That goes back. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like the reciprocal is TJ's final. I prefer when TJ says my final to when the cast says TJ's final, but it's not quite at the pet peeve level for me.
Yeah, and it basically is Jeff Probst's final anyway. We should start saying that. Let's make it the Probst's final three. I champion that for Survivor next season. I want people to start saying that.
You could start it. You start movements, Brian. So
I mean, the difference it being that, like, the idea is, like, TJ set something up for them, right?
Right.
So, like, it's not just, like, oh, the people who make the final are TJ presents the final 11 or however many are in the final. But everyone's allowed to get mad at what they get mad about. I validate you.
All I'm saying is if I ever go on a challenge, God forbid, because I would do shit. I would be the worst person to ever do any of this shit. And if I hear TJ's final or I hear that come out of anyone's mouth, like, I am convulsing. I am, like, emancipating myself out of life. Like, I would just, like, who TJ's final? Like, did TJ contract me to be here? Like, child, please. But TJ's nice.
All right. With that rave, TJ's nice. Looking at the partnerships, I mean, again, Brian, we've talked about this before, but we have just, like, a long segment announcing all the partnerships. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this grouping in the beginning of the episode, and I'm like, all right, if I'm going to identify one team in the most danger, to me, it's Leo and Justine.
Yeah, I think you always start with who Amazing Race is with, just because with their few numbers, I think you point to, like, what interesting pairing are they? Are they together? Who are they with a weaker team? So, yeah, I think you definitely have to point to them. And I think based on the conversations we had this episode, it really does seem like you have to point to who are the weaker teams, because initially you're not sure, like, all right, this new group of challenges is going to go after the strong people to knock them out before the final, or are they going to do the, you know, let's run with the strong people? And clearly, the sentiment is let's run with the strong people. So you really have to look to who is weak and who could potentially lose. And then who, if they don't lose, will just get voted in anyway.
Spoken like a group of people who have not run a challenge final, because I think that's, like, a very in the challenge proper. That's a very, like, newbie attitude to have on one side, or it's like Jordan and you're, like, the best person. Like, maybe Tyson mm-hmm. is validated in having that opinion, although I don't think he really has that opinion. It's like Kylan and Angela, we see, like, really communicating that as a strategy. Mm-hmm. Tyson to me is saying, like, I want the weak people out because I don't want them as a partner on the way. I do wonder if Tyson's going to start looking at strong men paired with weak women and targeting those teams. Mm-hmm. Tiffany mentioned this in your exit interview last week. She was like, I think Tyson really went for me because he didn't want me as a partner. She gets validated in this episode where he basically says exactly that about his strategy.
Yeah, and we've seen that sentiment in prior seasons of, like, a free agent style setup where people are worried about who they're going to be partnered with. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if people outside of, like, Tyson adjust maybe midway through as we get closer to the final. Okay, now you can start to roll the dice and try to get the stronger people out, especially the stronger ones of your gender, as opposed to the opposite gender who you would be paired with.
Jacob, go ahead, please.
I have a question. And this, I guess, Brian, you wouldn't be the audience.
I'll just sit back and listen.
Nothing has ever terrified me more, Jacob, than you saying that.
So, Allie, does Tyson do anything for you?
What do you mean? Say more.
Like, does he? Okay, I'm just gonna throw my thoughts. First, and I've watched Tyson on Survivor. You know, Tyson is on RHAP with Rob, like, every day that ends with a Y, or however that saying works. This show has put Tyson in, like, a different light. In a way of, like, I feel like I'm like, hold on. Like, I'm like looking at him and, like, the whole thing very differently. Very, like,
access, you know, to a shower can do a lot for people, you know? You've only seen him on Survivor. So, now he's fed and rested and clean.
But it's the way that he talks. It's the way that he, like, talks and communicates. And, like, I'm just like, so I was wondering, did he do anything?
Well, I think what you're picking up on is something I've picked up on too in a different way is just like he's really done a good job of making the leap from how people speak on Survivor and you know, look, it's edited by different people. So maybe it's not really Tyson. It's just the way he's being edited. But Tyson on Survivor is more is like family friendly villain, fun villain. Like Tyson on the challenge is quickly rising to the ranks of like dominant social and physical game a la some of the greats we've like the best we've ever seen on the challenge.
Like daddy.
Sure.
Like
daddy. He it's giving Wes, it's giving like challenge dominance as opposed to like survivor villain for your family.
I mean, you know what Beyonce said?
What are you?
Sorry, don't I just you? Started chugging coffee.
You said dominance. You know what Beyonce said? She said queens to the front and the doms to the back.
Speaking of doms to the back.
Emily would have known.
I'm actually surprised, though, by this the Tyson opinion, because I think this is just him, right? I don't know. This feels like very Token Cheens Tyson. Like, maybe he's more family-friendly in, like, the Winners of War season, but this, like, I feel like these types of clips, you can drop them right into Survivor Token Cheese, and he's saying the same things about, like, Aaron and Coach and all these other people as he's saying right now.
But he wasn't as dominant in that I feel maybe. Like he didn't have, I mean, maybe it's just, like, he didn't win. But, like, it's more, like, an aggressive, it's not just, like, villain, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Blood versus Water is also more, like, we're stealing food, we're, look at us sitting eating, you know, whatever. Yeah. But I think, like, here, it's, like, dominant, successful gameplay that's getting respected in the same way and it's just control. Like, he has pure control to me over the entire house.
That's fair. I just think personality wise like, I don't think anything's really changed with him. I think the personality of him is maybe just he's also more appreciated here because like his physical dominance is more appreciative as opposed to on like Survivor, at least amongst the cast. So maybe that it, but I think his quirks and his like, you know, anti-hero personality, I think is the same that it's always been.
Yeah, you're right, Jacob. It wasn't a question for Brian. It's a vibe. There's like an MTV vibe.
Period.
There's a challenge vibe and versus like a Survivor vibe. I get what you're saying. I remember Token Cheese. I've watched it five effing times for Rob, and I'm never going to do another Token Cheese podcast. I can promise you that. So I take the point, but it's more like it's a vibe. And it's hard to argue with me. It's Brian's given facts, and I'm just like, it's a vibe. So I sympathize. Yeah. I'm making it difficult.
I do love, I'm here for the vibe. I'm here for the vibe.
Here's an interesting couple of scenes that I think were put together on purpose. Stark contrast. You have Shan's conversation with Derek on one side, where she is like, trying to play him, or my interpretation is she's trying to play like, I don't know why people think I'm this master strategist. I was always just trying to make friends, ignore my confessionals where I'm telling you exactly what I'm going to do before I do it. On one hand, that doesn't really seem to work at all with Derek. And then you have Tasha and James, where James is trying to work into the Survivor Alliance, but he is giving Tasha such like sincere and thoughtful compliments and making points of connection that like without saying I just make relationships, he's making actual relationships that lead to alliances. That's my read of this little vignette.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. And I think for Shan, I wish she would kind of go the Tyson route of like embracing what makes her great. Like Tyson is embracing his cockiness and his physicalness that makes him great. I wish Shan would just embrace like, yeah, I am the strategic mastermind. Come on board with me or I'm going to like cut you out. Like you have to hop on board my train or like stand back and I'm going to wipe the floor with you. I wish she had that attitude as opposed to trying to play it down because everyone knows her. Like she was just on TV a year ago. All these people were either on her season or watched her season or in like this world. So they know who she is. Just play to that role. Like I don't see what she's trying to like gain here.
I feel the exact same sentiments that Brian you just said because I feel, you know, I just didn't feel like it was a need to talk about what you just did, and probably the other cast members from the other shows already did that, and this it just wasn't on air. But I feel like she was also trying to say, like, yeah, people think I'm, you know, okay, it's like me. Say I'm Sham, right? And I'm talking and I'm like, oh, people think I'm this sexy, like, super sophisticated, funny guy, but I'm just a goofy myself. I'm not really anything. You know, when you try to up yourself, but also down yourself. And I feel like it was like, oh, let me still talk my shit, but like, let me not talk my shit directly. And it was, I mean, I'm already off the Shan train off the last week, so that's probably why I have these thoughts about her right now. But yeah, it was just very annoying. And I'm so glad DX, like, seemingly so, wasn't really into it. But I
you mentioned last week, and I had the same, thought about, like, both of you are saying. I wish Shan would own her stuff, and I sympathize that it's hard, especially because I do think Shan sees herself as like a person who makes friends easily, a person who is trustworthy, a person who is a good friend. And like, when she does things for a game that run counter to that, or she gets caught being a little messy like last week, she like struggles to just own the different sides of herself in the game versus in real life, and then just like goes off on other people, which is, I think, what happened last week on Twitter. So it's just like, I would love for Shan to really like come into it and be like, yeah, this like villain arc on Survivor, but I can really make this work for us. I really like you, Derek, and we can like use my skills, kind of like Tyson and Angela, right? Like, we can, our powers are greater together than they are apart, as opposed to like acting like he's dumb and won't and can just be like lied to.
And it's a thing about just like show right. it. Like, and I get this is a TV show, so you want to express how you have moved and how you're going to move further. But I feel like Tyson is, I feel like everyone in that house knows he's very dominant. I feel like even we have Sarah Lucina in that house in the Survivor realm, in the Survivor game, it was a very dominant force. And they like, but they're like showing why they were or are these type of players, you know what I mean? And so I think that also annoyed me, that just like show it. You don't have to talk about it, just do it.
Yeah, and I think that's what James does super well, right? He could say, I want to get in with the Survivor people. That's like my only chance. Instead, he's just making deals with Tyson, making relationships with Tasha. He's building these bridges and then perfectly telling us to camera that he's doing it intentionally. And here's why he's doing it. I'm very sad jumping ahead to see James go.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, same.
Yeah. James was by far the biggest surprise of the first three episodes. Someone I would love to see back on this show, any of the show. I don't know. Put him on some type of, you know, Big Brother. I don't know. Put him on something, because I want him back in my world. I just love how, yeah, like you said, Ali, how honest he is to the camera, and he just tells it what he's actually doing. He's not sugarcoating. He's not lying. He's not making something up. This is what I'm going to try to do, and I'm going to go do it.
And he played the game where, like, even, I mean, sometimes being an audience member, it's hard to follow these people because they oftentimes don't direct their own story. And I feel like James did a perfect job at directing and being the producer of his own pathway in the Challenge House. And probably because he was into elimination, so we did get to see a lot more of him and his confessionals and his thought process. But no, James fucking killed it. James killed it. Can you, like,
yeah,
it just happened. So really here we are.
Okay, yeah, fucking, yeah.
I want to asterisk what I said about Shan really quick. Just, I'm not saying that Shan didn't have any justification for what she was saying about Alyssa last week. I know we didn't talk about it on the podcast, but I do think a lot of it became defensive about what she was saying about Tiffany on the show.
Yeah, about her slut-shaming of Tiffany.
All right.
Yeah. Her friend.
I do want to just say that Jacob and I had like a 45-minute conversation about this off air, just friends talking. And I was like, Jacob, if I'm being honest, like, I probably, like, you could catch me, like, no phone, no nothing in the house, like, bored, being like, I hear, like, maybe they kiss, like, whatever. And then Jacob was like, but if it were me and nobody in the house knew, I was like, oh, well, now if you're saying it's you, then I wouldn't do it.
Exactly. We keep things at home. Okay?
I didn't get the private phone call, but I did get the space joining, so that was fun for last week.
Oh, well, I did host a little spaces. Everyone listening that was in the space room, obviously Allie and Brian ruined tonight's spaces because they're getting all of my thoughts and unfiltered opinions. But Jacob, these opinions are not owned by me. These are owned by Brian and Allie.
Are you going to do that weekly? Can we check you out after the episode? Oh, yeah.
Hell no. No. I'm a very mood-based person. So if I'm feeling it one week, I'm feeling it. If I'm not, you ain't getting shit from me. Not even a tweet. But last week was iconic. You know what I mean? So I had to put on for my mother.
Can we talk about Cinco and Cachet? Nicole says, can you please discuss Sarah's social game, which involves her conducting life chats in bed with the Love Island girls? This week was Cash, and then Shannon, or I don't know, these parentheses don't make sense. Anyway, we see Cash and Sarah Lucina in bed talking about Cachet, and for $1 million I wouldn't have guessed that we'd get this scene.
You wouldn't guess it, but like, Sarah might just be one of like the best social players like reality TV history. She can make connections with anyone, anywhere, at any time, and people just bare their soul to her and just feel this connection. I don't know, like, I don't know what it is about her, but she's brings people in and just like they share this intimate details of life and want like her life advice about anything. It's unbelievable to see Sarah on TV do this again in a totally new world for her. It's wild.
And I feel like in a totally different demographic as well, because like connecting with Cash, who's kind of the polar opposite in every. I mean, I don't know Cash's, you know, intricate lives, but I don't know Sarah's intricate lives either. But I just feel like I will if I give Sarah anything, I will give her that, echoing your point. But as much as I didn't expect this moment. I, for one, didn't even want this moment. I didn't need this moment. I am so tired. Like Tiffany said in a confessional, he's not your man anymore, period. Cash, Cash, trust me, you talking to one of your emotional brothers, you talking to a crier, a pick up the phone, let me call Allie and let's bitch for a good time. You know what I mean? I am your people. But you will not catch me on a show where I see a camera and I'm crying in bed about this man that's sitting over there and I was just lifting this other woman up in the bed. Oh, absolutely not. You will. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will get thorns pricked in my ass.
To jump ahead somewhat, I really did think Cash was going to go home this week because I was not buying like Cash starting to be like, well, if this is the last page, like, as though it's not like the last page was like weeks ago when you broke up, but you know, this reopening of the book and then Cinco even saying like, you know, we've started talking, I'm seeing this whole new side of her. Like, I am not buying that they're going to get back together here. So I thought they were like squeezing this dry before she left. How do you think the rest of the Cinco Cash story this season's going to evolve, Jacob?
Yeah. I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think it's going anywhere. And because, I mean, maybe this is too mixy, but even at the party, I didn't see them interact once, like at all. And probably they're like, oh, let's stay away from each other from the show. But like people were, I mean, I saw Cash and Tiffany hang out. I saw Tiffany introduce me to Cinco, if I can say, one of the most, like what you see on that screen and whatever gets you whatever gets you with Cinco in person, it gets you there as well. Like what hits paper hits pan, what hits real life hits screen.
Were you about everything. To say ooey gooey?
But I don't think it's going anywhere. I was because it's actually a cookie company in New York called Ooey Gooey Cookies that I just had today. So I was going there, but I had to fix my tongue. I'm a lady. But yeah, it's not going anywhere. I think this is the last time or hopefully the last reference we get.
Yeah, I think
that.
Unless one of them's like about to go in and it's like, oh, I kind of want them to stay or something like that. I don't think there'll be a natural thing that comes up in their relationship outside of like a force where one of them's about to go home or one of them's in power and it's like has to have that conversation or moment.
Or unless, I mean, we see them going out to drinks. I mean, I can see you got a few shots back. You got, you know, some Patron, some Grey Goose down your throat. You may want to do your due deals. And I'm not mad about that. Everybody is an adult here and everybody has
to plug those holes.
Ebbs and flows of how they want to feel in the moment. You got to, ding, ding, ding. And if you've already experienced a guy or you already experienced a woman.
But you just said you didn't even want to see this conversation about it.
No, I don't. I'm saying if I can see it, I'm saying, oh, if they're drinking, then I can see something happening again. Just like going back to what you know, you know what
All
I mean?
Right. Much like Jacob's explaining, the challenge is really going back to what they know here in these dailies. We get another sort of variation, like puzzle. Again, I do think if they could just get TJ to stop giving them this praise, they are doing, I will praise the producers, the challenge creators, whatever, the challenge producers. They're doing a very good job, again, giving you a challenge that just is right at the level, I think, of these people's physicality. Maybe this one's like slightly below, but I didn't love, if this challenge was on Challenge Proper, I would complain about it, but I think for Challenge Ooh. USA, it was okay.
Oh, interesting. What is, I, because I, to me, I think they're 6 for 6 on challenge and on dailies and elimination so far. So what didn't you like about this one?
It's a wheel, fortune, like whatever, you know, like it's like, it really wasn't, I think, The challenge proper people would have done away with this with quickness. I don't think anybody would have fallen. I don't think like it would have been that like big of a spread. I really have more faith in the challenge proper folks.
I mean, only one person fall. It wasn't like they were dropping like flies.
I know, right? but one person.
Yeah, I mean, we see people on challenge proper. I mean, there's not, you know, some people on challenge proper are not that great that they would smash.
I just think this was like, okay, you grab a letter, you run with the letter. There's some poor intern behind it flipping the thing.
Oh, what a dream. I would love to be that. That'd be so fun.
And the other thing, this is like, I know they did it so that like there were the same number of like duplicate letters, like the name of the country was the same first letter of the name of the country was the first letter mm-hmm. of like whatever object was in the country. I really have, and I'm sure they're like randomizing it and making it fair. I don't like when they have different puzzles to solve. That, like, someone comes back with an E and gets, like, an and, like, everybody else comes back with an E and gets a letter. Like, I'm sure it is fair. I just, as a viewer, do not like people having different puzzles.
Oh, I think for this one, you have to.
Of course you have to. That's why I don't like the challenge. I'm not saying you should do anything differently.
The only thing I didn't like was I didn't like that you could just solve it. I feel like you should have to get every letter rather than just like figuring it out. I think you could solve it yourself, but you still would have to get the letter to solve
it. So I thought about that and I wrote that down and then I deleted it because then I was like, well, that is a way that somebody who's like quote unquote smarter or whatever can like come from behind, even if they're not the most physical. So in that way, I thought it was like an equalizer in the way that if it was physical with a puzzle at the end.
But how many guesses can you just keep guessing, like every time, just throw out a guess?
Well, if you guess, you should probably have to bring another weight back to your partner.
Yeah.
I don't know that was the rule, but that's like should have been the rule.
Right. Yeah, well, if you guess wrong, then you had to bring one back. But I liked it. I mean, anytime I was looking, just like as they were running and as they were solving, I always say, like, could I do this easily? Absolutely. Absolutely not. Like, and even in the, I guess y'all call it the challenge proper, I could easily see. I mean, I don't watch it as extreme as y'all do. You know, I casually, you know, flick it on or whatnot. But I could easily see this on there. And I like this challenge. I thought it was super fun. Not fun. I thought it was hard, and it's kind of like, could I do this? No, but then
here's what I'll say about this challenge and all the challenges they've done so far. The challenge proper has gotten, you know, we've just watched a season of All Stars, so let me remind myself about the challenge proper. What I complain about the challenges and the challenge proper is what I complain about is form over substance. That they have monster trucks, they want to put you in a helicopter. Like, this probably would have been like the person who's like holding the weights is in a helicopter looking at the board and has to radio down to like whatever. And I think they do that so much that you lose the actual substance of the challenge. To give credit to the Challenge USA and Challenge All Stars, they don't do that as much. And like all of these challenges, the three dailies have been, you know, I know they put whatever, I'm confusing events. But, like, they've been very, like, watchable challenges with good substance and good content. I appreciate that. Not so focused on explosions. However, this one just didn't seem as convincing to me that it was so demanding. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. Yeah, no, I mean, I enjoyed it. I love this was the first one they did this season where they're all going at once. So there was not, like, seeing this happen over multiple stages and heat. So I appreciated that. Yeah, I was fun to see, you know, who really stands out in, like, not, this is not, like, the mini final, but, like, this is the type of things you would do in a final. So
get out of here. No, bullshit. This is not a mini. No, now you're just wasting the expression mini final. This was not multiple stages. This was not running a very, very long distance with a partner. I poo-poo that completely.
It's a little hint.
You're out of your mind. Any challenge then is a mini final now if you have to run to a puzzle. No, that's insane. That's wrong. Brian has told me I'm wrong every 10 seconds this podcast, and I'll take it, but this is incorrect.
I did like Sarah's analysis of like the people walking and how she's going to keep running to intimidate the girls. I really like that. And I feel like, I remember Sarah's game on Survivor. And it was very like hard and, you know, manipulative and whatnot. I do like her and enjoy her more on this show. And even that line of her in the confessional saying, oh yeah, all these people walking, like I'm getting my mind right so I can know who's the weaker. And then I'm just going to run to intimidate the other women, which I was like, oh damn, like go ahead and rock your shit, Sarah.
Sarah's Tyson-esque edge too, I think has translated well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. Very much so. It's like a it's like a different confidence or something where she can just like talk.
It plays for
shit
her, but we haven't really seen as much of the other people commenting about her. We've seen other people commenting about Tyson. I guess because she just hasn't won yet. Mm-hmm. But so maybe when she does pull out a win in a daily, which we expect to see, then we would start to see it. But we haven't really seen as much people being like, "Oh my God, Sarah! Like she's like crazy good. Oh my God!" type stuff.
Leonar says, "Oh, sorry,"
but also. Oh, sorry. I was going to say also, I know y'all made reference to it at the beginning. Y'all were saying like which were the strongest teams. And I do feel like Cinco and Sarah. I don't know if y'all mentioned them. Y'all brought that up. But I do feel like they were a hell of a stronger team.
Totally. No one's going to be upset to get paired with either one of them. Lainar says, how the hell were these people not guessing some of their puzzles? And this is like, this only reads in the questions like Aunt Blank from R blank and Tina, Ig blank ooze from Ice blank and.
So on top of Wordle to prepare, I think need to do like the geography Wordle, like just to get all like your country names in order. That's like the new big thing. So that's for add that to your challenge prep feature people.
That would have sucked. I would have sucked at everything in this challenge. Size balancing, but like I think spelling, I'm horrible at horrid. Literally like disgusting. It's like throwing up. It's like Dallas Public Schools failed me as an adolescent. And then knowing countries, knowing geography, no. And so it's gonna be all
that. I think that would be worse if you were the guy behind who had to flip the letters.
You start flipping over the wrong letters, like to destroy the challenge.
Tyson's move, Angela and Kylan win, and it was interesting to me, Brian, because first Big Brother pair to win. Tyson took the first hit on Big Brother, you know, at the request of X and Alyssa, but he took a hit on Big Brother. I wasn't sure what was going to happen here. Did you think they were going to I feel like the edit wanted us to believe that maybe Tyson could potentially be in danger or get played. Did you think they were going to make a big move against Survivor here?
I could see it. I didn't think Tyson was going in at all. I especially just the way, even when they were setting up Angela talking. If anything, I think they were almost setting up in the reverse that maybe Tyson would take the shot at Angela at a certain point. But I didn't think Angela would take the shot at Tyson. But to go after Survivor, it would make sense for Big Brother here, and I feel like Tyson would understand it would make sense to go after someone on Survivor, so I was very much expecting that to play out.
So Tyson pitches Dom and Cash and David and Shan are the weak teams, and that's what they should be going after. Immediately, two teams with two survivors in it. Jacob, do you agree with the strategy that they should be putting up weaker teams, or do you think Big Brother should have taken a bigger shot here?
I think they should have taken a bigger shot, and I don't like the conversation that Angela and Kylan were having with saying like, oh yeah, I want people here who deserves to be here. This is a reality competition show. This is not World's Strongest Lifter. It's the challenge, but it's also like a reality competition show, like who deserves to be here. I just hate that terminology in general, because who are you? And Kylan was like, oh yeah, I'm known for that. Oh my gosh. I'm about to get a little. But he was like, I'm known for that. And when he stepped up to Xavier and was like, oh, you're going to do this when I'm like one of the best. I want to compete against the best. I want to be the best. Like, no, I would get rid of one of the strongest couples there or throw them in, even though there's a likelihood of them coming back because James and Tasha like aren't the strongest pairs out of the ones there. But I still like swing for the fences. And like, I don't know. I get it in a sense of like you want to be partners with stronger people, but then everyone's going to have a strong partner.
It does make sense, though, to be so vocal for, especially for Kyla and Angela Tyson, when you are the stronger people, to try to keep the idea of, oh, let's keep the stronger people, right? Because then that would idea protect you for other people. So I would make sense to like outwardly portray that and then to see who's smart enough to then turn it around on the other people when it gets down to it. So that I think that's will be the big test.
But like, Brian, say you were in there. And you're like a tall guy. I've never seen you run or do anything like besides like your height. But I want to say that
you can move a couple of boxes,
hike a mile. And okay, you talk your shit. And so if you were in the house, say your partner was Angela, right? Would you still have that philosophy of like, okay, let's keep the strong people in? But like, you can have that philosophy, but how do you? And only Tyson has that philosophy. They're the only two people that have proclaimed to have that philosophy. So how the hell you think everyone else? Because if I was in that house, I would not be like, oh, let's get the power, let's get the strong people to stay. Like, would you go with that strong competitor?
That would definitely be dominating the challenge. I would say it does make sense in the beginning to want to knock out some of the weak people, especially for someone like Tyson who was already punching his ticket to the final. All he needs to do at this point is just survive. So if as long as he's paired with someone that he's confident with, then he can just keep making it through each week and get to the end. So I do think for the next like few weeks, for the stronger competitors, I do understand the notion of I want to knock out the people I don't want to risk being paired with. And then either once you get paired with them or you maybe go after try to protect people you've already been paired with, then you can start making other moves. But for the first few weeks, I do think it makes sense to want to avoid the giant pitfall of being paired with someone who you're not that confident with.
All right. I guess I'm just like looking at it from a weaker point of view and I'm like, oh, screw y'all.
That's here's a question. Why. I mean, it was curious to me that Justine and Leah weren't in this conversation with Tyson and Angela, and also that David and Shan fall out of this conversation. Couple questions here. Do you think that David and Shan aren't considered? I would say out of the three quote unquote weak teams, David and Shan are probably the physically weakest of the bunch, depending on the challenge. Are they saved just by virtue of David being Big Brother?
Yeah, and I think they're probably saved because it was Shannon, right? Not Shannon. I think they wanted to take a shot at someone from Survivor, so that's why they wanted to go after.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, so I think if it was David and Shan, then yeah, I think that maybe they would be tossed in. But I think they just wanted someone with a Survivor teammate to go into the hope to guarantee either Tasha or that Survivor teammate goes home.
All right. I lost Cashel last week, so my abbreviations for Cash were fine. I gotta get rid of one of Shannon or Shan. Justine and Leo, though, I mean, we're supposed to believe from the edit that it was just James who suggested them. I find that so hard to believe. I believe that James threw him under the bus and he should pay for that, but I don't understand how like he wouldn't be top of mind for Kylan and Angela.
I mean, you probably just said the same thing,
but I just, if they're really playing the weakest link mode.
Yeah, I think he definitely would have been top of mind. I think it just, maybe they were like almost out of respect, maybe wouldn't like go after him or something. Like if they had an agreement, like not to go after him. But to see James outwardly throw out his showmate's team, like that's just going to raise eyebrows and get people talking and get it even more talked about. So I think it just has to be talked about a little bit more.
Were you surprised, Jacob, I know you're not an Amazing Race guy, but to see James so quickly try to turn against his Amazing Race ally?
Oh, yeah, I didn't like it. I was very turned off by it, and I've liked James as far as I've seen him on here. I never watched Amazing Race, but I just didn't. It's only three of y'all. And as then an Amazing Racer, it wasn't James that beat Tiffany and Cashel last week, was it?
Kaylin James. Y'all?
Okay, and James. Yeah.
Well, Kayla and James. Okay, but then who was the first week? Okay, so James, this is James' third. He said it was his second.
Was it James?
Didn't hear
no.
Around you?
Wait. Oh, yeah, because we said that it did make sense for him to be. I just had the Wikipedia up. All right, keep making your point and I'll confirm.
I didn't like that he was throwing out his brother like that. And again, it's only three of them, so I feel like they should have each other's back to the end if they can. And that he was just so quick. So it definitely turned me off to him and his game for that split second. And the fact that Leo, like, seemingly so got his feelings hurt by it. And Leo, we haven't seen much from him on this show, but I like that he went back to Caitlyn and was like, it's kind of like going back to your sister, who's like the older sister, and like the two brothers are fighting, being like, yo, he just tried to like say that about me. She's like, what? I'm sorry, man. It was like all very cute. But I'm kind of glad that they didn't go in and Leo kind of stayed. I'm not saying we're going to get much from him continuing, but I didn't like that from James. So it may be karma.
FYI, it was Kylan and Ozzy. I just want to get that in there before.
Right. That's right. I do kind of think it makes sense not to throw in Leo here. Once you have the Leo and James split, obviously James goes home, so it doesn't matter. But if he comes back, now all of a sudden that sort of tight three would be very much against each other. And it sets up a pretty easy way to get one of them to either turn against James or turn against Leo for the next elimination. It really just sets up that way you can kind of step back and maybe have a week off of them wanting to target each other. So as the fact that they were already taking those shots without it actually going through makes a lot of sense to wanting to try to keep both of them in the house.
And I got James' process of, oh, let's get Justine because Justine has a lot of money. But as your point in saying, oh, let's protect the strong people because it's the beginning, I feel like we're looking at, oh, how much money we can accumulate and it's only the beginning. I didn't really get that while that was his first basis on who to throw in because, oh, she has a lot of money. But this is, again, the beginning. And as we're looking at your track record, I feel like you're going to be in so many times that you can at least, you know, get these couple thousands that these people have before they hit the road. And so I really didn't understand that process as well. Even though I did, it was still just like, why is still the beginning? So why even look at that aspect as being a viable option?
So in terms of the money, like,
and Justine,
is it split evenly, or does like the guy get the guy's money and like the girl get the girl's money, or is it like a giant pool and it just split?
So they said it was 3,000 split equally.
Okay, so it's just a giant pool that split. Got it.
Yeah, I was thinking kind of the same thing, Brian. I had that question because I was like, well, but then as he was talking, I was like, well, he wants Justine to go in. So I'm guessing it's just going to be in a pool of both of their money so it can be split between the two. But yeah.
No, I don't really get.
I have vocal fry. I don't buy into that. Y'all hear that?
What did you guys think of Dom's strategy here? Dom just kind of got cooking in his head that he was going to go in. It was his time. He was ready to go in. And at first, like, I wanted to believe there was more to this. Like, Dom is having this conversation with James, like, prepare yourself for me. And James is like, I don't want to go against you. And he's like, well, it's going to happen. Get ready for it. And it's like, is he trying to psych him out so he scrambles? But then as we see him talking to Cash, it really did seem like Dom was, like, borderline ready to throw himself in.
Yeah, I think at first it was like trying to psych himself up a little bit. Like, yeah, I'm ready. I can do this. If they're going to, you know, you can't fire me, I quit type thing. I'm ready to go in. And then he just kept talking himself up so much that he was like too hyped that like if he like didn't go in, it would be like the weird come down of like, oh, what do I do with all this energy? I don't know what to do. I need to go in. It was very frantic and honestly kind of consistent, like frantic energy. I feel like we've seen with Dom on Survivor. It's just now it's like geared towards going into elimination. So it's not super out of character, but I feel like he did really get in his head.
What did he say to Cash when Cash was like, you need to stop acting like that?
Yeah, like, and then he like went to Cinco.
Hit Cinco.
See, I'm a big Dom person. I thought this was really condescending. And
oh, yeah.
Cash was correct multiple times. And I did not like he was like, well, I'm a construction manager. Like, I don't ask my crew their opinion. I tell them. Like, she's not your crew.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, they're very much equal partners for this week. They're same input on decision making. Yeah, this was a rough week for Dom. Surprising he like we have discussed that he gets the win. We'll see how he bounces back from this, but not the best of looks for Dom here.
From beginning to end too, because at the very end we saw a slip of the mind, you know.
Well, I liked how he handled that, at least that he gave Cash. He was like, I'm grateful that Cash was able to do it. Like, finally gave her credit, viewed her as an equal partner. But yeah, like, I think Dom it hasn't been going his way. Like, it hasn't not been going his way, but he hasn't been getting wins, and he's getting restless, and he's handling it poorly.
Yeah, if anything, he should be, like, kind of happy with it. Like, he's, like, hasn't had, like, the top partners yet, and he's, like, in his mind, it's like, oh, I've been stuck with these Love Island girls. In his mind, he'd be like, oh, I haven't had, like, these, some, like, a Sarah or an Angela that are good, or Alyssa that's really going to help me win, and I'm still getting by. Like, he should have a more positive spin zone with that. I don't know why he's been so, like, so stuck on his partners like that.
So I agree with you, and that's something I was thinking about this episode. Like, you kind of should want to have, like, the quote-unquote weaker, like, I don't view Cash as weak, but the quote-unquote weaker competitors early on. But the flip to that is, at the end of the day, if you get the strong ones now and everyone's targeting the weaker people, they'll get eliminated before you're even their partner, and then you'll have to start repeating, and then you'll only have strong people. Like, I think that is the goal, but very unlikely, so better to have some of them early on.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for, I feel like we got a little bit of a hint of it, of like, I think someone being with Tyson, of being worried about being partnered with someone with a lot of money, making them a target. We haven't really got a lot of that yet, and I think that's going to start to brew once there's a little more money floating around that people have. So I'm waiting for that to kind of be a storyline of people wanting to go after someone's pool of money, especially as we get closer to the final, if someone doesn't have enough money.
Is this kind of like the twist that they did in
Challenge
the,
Proper?
What do y'all call the main challenge? The Pioneer Challenge? Challenge Proper. Regarding the money situation. I guess it's different, but I was about to draw a correlation between the money situation and people wanting the money versus the skulls. When they had to, like, oh, you have to have three skulls or one skull in order to run TJ's final. I was trying to draw a link as well. I guess it's kind of different because you have to go into elimination instead. You can earn your money.
It's not dissimilar. That is one wrinkle that you can earn. Like you just said, you could earn in the daily, but winning the daily then comes with a bigger bounty on your head, as Brian was talking about. So it's not dissimilar. We actually got a question earlier in the challenge season that we didn't read from Nick Fishman. So I think we should clear some of the stuff up with the money. First time challenge watcher, welcome. So got a few historical questions. One, is there no limit to how many players get into the finale? Yeah, it's different every time. What happens in the finales on number? Sorry, do you keep your money bank if you survive to the finale? That's a question that I think is Tyson called these challenge bucks. Just to be clear, this is not the case. This is not always the case. This hasn't been the case that there's like a personal bank account in a while on the challenge. It's not like a standard issue situation. Do you guys think the money in your account is going to work out to prize money, or are these like, I was going to say Rob dollars. It's what my brother's money is called, because it always crumpled in his pocket. His friends call them Rob dollars. Like fake money. Is it Monopoly money, or is it going to be a real purse at the end for people?
So when they first talked about it, I did think it was going to be extra money that you would win going to the final. But now that I think about it more, I don't think it is. I think it's going to be, if anything, it's going to be sort of like maybe like an All-Stars 3, where like if you have the most money, like it'll give you some type of extra advantage in the final. But I don't think Tyson's, you know, 11,000 or whatever he has now would be added to the 250 if he wins. Like I think that you win, you get 250, and I think the money you get either just cashes you to the final, or maybe if you have the most, you get an extra boost in the final.
Right.
I was kind of looking at like they do on Drag Race, where you know they do the challenges. They win like $10,000. Because then I was like, wait, that's a large sum of money, $5,000 for each challenge win. But I was like, Drag Race, they give $10,000 and they keep it. Or it goes towards like, you know, they have that money to hold on to. It's theirs.
It is weird that like at least in challenge, it's not uncommon that we would have no idea how something is. That's not weird. But it is weird that at least in challenge All-Stars, they were like, trust us, you want to have the most stars. Like all we know is they want to have $5,000. We don't understand the benefit of having more. I wish we got some indication that they're is a benefit or is not a benefit. Is it going to be that anyone who has over $5,000, that money gets pulled out and the people without enough compete in one last challenge to make it to the final because they want to control how many people are in the final? Like, I just wish we had some indication. It seems like it's not going to matter at all, which I think is kind of Bush League.
Right, because even when he was said like the prize pool, he said $500,000, right? I don't think he said like $500,000 plus whatever you might have in your bank account. So my guess right now is it is challenge bucks. That's really all it is.
All right. So the arena comes, as we discussed, it's Cash and Dom versus Tasha and James. This elimination I did like.
Yeah. So I think we're now 100% just never going to get like the discussion before the elimination, right? This is just now the thing for the Challenge USA is you show who's voted in, rewind the tape and show why they're voted in, or not like why, but like the definitive why they're voted in. I think now that's pretty clear. That's what we're going to be doing now going forward.
Well, at least we got a little bit more of like, it was either going to be Dom and Cash.
Right.
Or Leo and Justine. And like Dom was like, to me, this wasn't a surprise. I thought I would have been surprised if it was Leo and Justine.
Agreed. Yeah. I thought it would be Dom for the survivor person of it all.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I really thought Cash and Dom were going to go. I have written down what damages will be done with James and the Amazing Race. I thought they were coming back. I thought Cash and Dom had much more of a complete exit edit than Tasha mm-hmm. and James did. I don't really think we saw that much of Tasha, unfortunately, over the course of the three episodes.
Yeah, second straight week. Very surprised by the elimination result. I don't know. Maybe like they're hiding the edit or whatever they're doing differently. But I've been very surprised by both the back-to-back weeks of who's gone home here.
All right, should we get to the drinking game?
Yeah. Did you catch... go ahead, Jacob.
Wait, what...
Jacob, you've been on this podcast before.
What drinking game?
No.
Wait, did we... I don't
we just add drinking. A rule to a drinking game like every episode, and you could think of one now. You don't have to add one. We could just default to the most requested rule that was actually already going to be my rule because Michelle Marshy wrote to me last mm-hmm. week about it.
I think
what do we have now? We have someone twerking.
So I have the Kyle Picard list.
Oh yeah, please. Week. Why am I trying to do this? Keep going.
So for this week, there were three. There was a flashback to another show with the Shantham and two fun editings he clocked with the Shattering Heart during Cachet's relationship chat and Ben with his go-to letters during Wheel of Fortune of RSTLNE. So did you have something to add? Miss Allie?
Catherine B, Michelle Marshy, people tweeted at us, people wrote the questions. The most highly requested rule we've ever had in the history of the Challenger Hop Up. Mm-hmm. Danny mentions his wife.
Yes.
I'm going to expand it and make a twist on it. Anyone mentions their spouse or partner or significant other, because if Danny goes, I don't want to put a canary on Danny. That's what my grandfather would say. I don't want to put anything on Danny. He goes out next week. So anyone mentions their partner, but this is the Kiki rule in honor of Kiki.
I'm going to add, anytime Love Island self compliments themselves, how fabulous they are, how cute they are, their vibe. I think that needs to get added because that's becoming a recurring theme with each of these episodes.
That was such a good.
If you have one, Jacob, we'll take it. If not, I have some questions. You can think of one. You can pass. Totally fine.
I pass on this.
Before
one,
the questions, did you catch?
I really
at the end of the elimination, the big voiceover where they re-emphatically brought up the challenge, like championship, just to like make sure it was just shoehorned in there because that was clearly not discussed again. So.
I'm
curious now going forward, are we ever going to see PJ actually say these words to the contestants again, or is it only going to be voiceover to remind the audience that something else is coming down the road? I'm very curious about that.
Well, here's something interesting. I do wonder if that goes to some of the... Does that add a little bit more validity to the strategy of trying to go to the final with the best? I keep beating that drum. Who knows if it's a team? I think you should try to take money now versus money later, but... Sure. You know, possibility. Someone did write to us. And I'm sorry I didn't pull it. So thank you to who wrote to us. I believe from the UK, who said that like the UK season of the challenge is not airing and has not been promoted yet. So I don't know when that is coming.
So we got a challenge championships coming 2024.
Is it UK? It's Argentina. What are the countries again? It's Argentina.
It's Argentina, UK, and I believe Australia is the other one.
All right. Becca says, do you think that there's eventually going to be a twist where contestants can lose their money somehow? Do you think the money is going to be similar to the stars in that more? Oh, we already talked about that. So do you think that there's going to be a way to lose your money?
Well, there is, right? Like an elimination.
Well, Yeah.
I don't see.
So. I don't think so. I don't think someone could just steal it.
I mean, unless you go home.
In the game. I wouldn't think.
Megan says, for all three of you, which RHAP podcaster would you most want to be your partner for the challenge?
Jacob Jones. I think that's serious. I think it'd be great.
No, Brian, you have to be serious. Are you being genuine? Oh, thank you.
I think Liana.
Okay, Allie, your turn.
Well, the Puya wins at everything, so maybe him.
No, Brian, you can't change. Who would I? Honestly, because we work so well together, and he is very does rock climbing, does everything. He could be the
you think
the
he
top
wouldn't
half
forget
the bottom,
like Dom did.
Taryn.
To plug the hole, yeah.
I don't see him doing that. Well,
I would love to see the tape on that also, by the way. That seems super close. I thought the water was below the level before the puzzle was completed. I would love to see a side-by-side.
I do think they would have loved to call them disqualified because of that. That would have been better TV. So, Josh Green says, who do you guys think could go from the Challenge USA to a Big Brother house? I feel like it should be Challenge proper. I don't know what Josh meant, but we've never seen a challenger do the switch. I think someone great. So from the challenge, who do you think would be in Big Brother?
Kind of.
No. I don't think he meant from the challenge.
Well, maybe he
USA
did mean Big Brother though,
because it's Big Brother people. Either way, if you think some of the people who are not on Big Brother but are on this season of the challenge could be great on Big Brother, great. If you think of anyone from the challenge universe that could be on Big Brother.
I think Devin. Not the white man, but Devin that has the podcast man with Devon. I think she could really do it.
I'll admit I did think that Devin first, and I was quite surprised.
Not that Devin.
I do think he would do decently on Big Brother.
He would be
Devin.
Good TV, but I think
really?
He would be a disaster.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the Love Island people would be fun on Big Brother. Energy. I think they bring a lot of good energy that show kind of needs.
But from Big Brother to the challenge, I think the challenge has the people from Big Brother that the challenge probably needs. I mean, I would love to see a Bailey and Swaggy return because I know they're expecting.
Well, you need that mom strength because they're playing on challenge proper.
Come on the challenge again.
John A. Right.
I mean, hey, Johanna. I'm not Johanna. Oh, my gosh. What's her name? It starts with a John A. Yes, John A.
Spoiler alert.
She has kids, and she's like her second season winning.
Yeah, you're fine.
So, okay, ain't it over? Oh, okay. I was like,
all right.
I read that
Becca also wrote some very nice words. A lot of people wrote some nice words in the comments. We appreciate it. Becca asked if now we'll consider doing a video podcast. No. McKenna was like, where's the swag? McKenna, if you're interested in swag, not bother. Please write to Sam Moore and Rob Sesternino about it. It's out of our hands. Okay, if you want to write questions to us, you could do so
at
the link provided in, I think, the show notes. It's also, it's in our tweets. What do you mean drag you?
Drag me.
I did not hear you at all.
Oh, I didn't hear that either.
I said, what would the shirt be? Oh, I said, and I like use whatever. So I like drag me. What would the shirt be?
We'll talk offline.
I know, but if it's y'all, so you don't have some input in it.
If you see social media, people have been writing to us. Word. We appreciate it. Drop it to us on Twitter. We'll talk about it. And if you want to leave us a review, we'd love to read it.
Yeah,
that's
please.
It.
RobsWebsite.com/challenge, iTunes or challenge feed is the perfect place for all that. Jacob Jones, where can people follow you?
People can follow me at JacobJ_Jones. Also, y'all do very great job here today.
Yeah, because you're lying, because you are not listening to this podcast.
Like y'all as individuals, but I think No. That's why I just said, as I'm on right now.
This is really good. Maybe I'll come back.
No, literally, let me get it out. As I'm on right now, y'all. I don't listen to podcasts, and specifically ones that recap shows. It's just not my thing. I like listening to music more. But y'all do a really great job together, like with the organizational period, with incorporating the listeners, with having the listeners submit forms. Y'all have like a listener base, which is super cool. And so I think a lot of people can take, y'all been in the game for a minute. And so I would assume y'all have grown some type of, you know.
You would assume.
Some type of, you know, listenership and. I would assume, yes. And y'all have. And so, yes, this has been a very lovely time. Y'all work amazingly together. I'm super honored to be here with you all tonight. And, I hope y'all have an amazing... I actually, and this is probably TMI, but I bought five
Oh, my God. Go Cash live channel. On Instagram. Yeah,
if only this wasn't a video podcast.
I know, right? Well, if that...
Allie,
you're doing Brian's job. Where can we appreciate find y'all? It. You can follow me at Lash Tweets. You could check out an episode of New Girl Old Guy just dropped today. Starting off season 4, me and Akiva talking about New Girl. Check that out at anchor.fm/New Girl Old Guy.
And you can.
Sure.
Wait, I have a question about that. Do you just like.
It's a really good question. We mostly don't talk about New Girl. Akiva and I mostly catch up and then we just publish it to the universe.
What do you even talk about?
Yeah, like the last week I was eating gummy bears.
So it's basically like y'all just like hanging out.
That was a good one. It's a rough outline. It's a suggestion. We watch the episode. We talk about it. We end up getting a little bit off track. We come back.
It frames the conversation.
Yeah, it frames the conversation.
Okay, I think I would a morning show.
You can follow me at Cohen Brian, with a C, sorry, Brian with an I underscore. And that's it. Anything else? Jacob Jones, anything else?
Nothing else. Enjoy your weekend. And as my mother always said,
until next time,
leave
have
it open.
A good one.